Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone. Do shadows lurk in your life, perhaps in the form of discouragement, frustration, abuse, debt, fear, heartbreak, loneliness, or addiction? This hour, I invite you to leave the darkness and step into the light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Bonnie Hoffman, a retired music teacher who was gifted with the ability to play several instruments and bless others with her singing voice. Does music touch you in a profound way? Does it draw you closer to the Lord? Go grab a cup of coffee, settle into your favorite resting spot, and we'll return in 1 minute when Bonnie will join us on the show.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it whole.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to our 34th episode of Step Into the Light on this seventh day of June, 2016. Today's guest, Bonnie Hoffman, has known music as an integral part of her entire life. She attended the MacPhail College of Music, taught music at a small school in southeastern Colorado for 20 years, and has served as our local church organist for the past 25. We are fortunate that Bonnie continues to serve in this capacity at First Presbyterian Church in Los Animas, where she makes music come alive as a key part of Sunday worship. Despite her love of the Lord, reflected in all aspects of Bonnie's daily life, she has experienced some dark and difficult times. In addition to her love of music, she will share with us how God brought her out of the darkness and back to the light of his love. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Pat.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm honored to be welcomed to your show. You bet.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, Bonnie. You have been such a light in my life. You've been a dear friend for several years now, and I love your music, and I'm a little bit envious of your ability to to make such beautiful music in so many different ways.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Well, Bonnie, what childhood factors inspired your love of music? Did you grow up with a piano in your home, with instruments? Did your parents, were they involved in music? And I bet the answer to that is yes.
Definitely, yes. My home was filled with music, and I remember my mother playing the piano in our home at a very young age, and she gave piano lessons. And not only that, she was the organist and pianist from the little Methodist church right across from our first home that we lived in. And I remember men's quartets and ladies trios coming over to my home, and they would be practicing to get ready for church services. And I would sit and listen and idolize all of what was going on, that they had so much talent. And my mother had me singing at such a very young age. When I was only 6 years old, I was singing solos already.
Oh, my goodness.
And I wanted to mention that my mother started playing the organ and piano at this little Methodist church when she was only 26 years old as a young bride. And she continued to play there until she was 100 years old.
100 years old. 74 years, that would be fun. That is absolutely amazing.
And not only that, when she went into the nursing home, she continued to play the piano for all the residents there, and she lived to be 102 years old.
Wow.
And she never forgot. Yeah, I'm sorry. She never forgot how to play that piano, ever. Yes.
That is really something amazing. That's a miracle in itself.
Yes,
the fact that God gave her that ability for such a long, long time in her life, Bonnie.
Yes, and that greatly influenced my life. And not only that, she wrote many gospel songs and had it published in a book. And
really?
And that I keep to this day. Yes, and she wrote on the words and the notes and everything. It was called Christ is Our Hope. And it was such a blessing to me to have her write this, and I, you know, still play from her book to this day. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Now, is this something that would be available that people could purchase, Bonnie, or no?
And they all have been sold. She has several of those books back in that little Methodist church in Wisconsin, but they use them every now and then. They sing from her book. And so, but no longer are there any more available. Yeah.
Wow, what a legacy to that church, though, huh?
I agree. And to my life, too.
And to your family, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, I'll share a little bit about my background as far as music. My dad played the piano, and he played by ear. And I was always so jealous that he could do, you know, I took some lessons. I kind of made an arrangement with our pastor's wife when I was a kid. I babysat for her, and she gave me piano lessons.
Wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful.
And I did that for a while, but I just never accomplished near as well as my dad. My dad's favorite music was the big band's era music.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, most people of my generation don't even know what I'm talking about. But you probably would remember some of the songs that he played,
yes.
But he just had my whole repertoire of, you know, of songs, and I could just sit and listen to him play all day long.
Oh, yes. That's good. And that's a talent, whether you play by note or by ear. And because I think one of your questions you were asking, too, is the instruments that I played and how long, you know, it took to master these instruments.
Yes.
Do you want me to refer to that?
Definitely. Please do.
Okay. Well, my mother, as I mentioned, was a piano teacher. And so she taught me at the age of 10. I was 10 years old when I began piano lessons with her, and she taught my sister and my cousins. So we were all competing with each other to get through all these series of lessons. And so she taught me from the time I was 10 until I went to high school. So I took quite a few years from her, yes. And the accordion came into my life when I was 13 years old. My father was a great gun collector, and he sold one of his favorite rifles and gave $100 to this one family who no longer wanted the accordion. And so he said, oh, I would like to buy this for my daughter, which he did. So that was my first accordion. And there was an accordion teacher in our area. And once I learned how to play the accordion, he had us play in an accordion band, which was really fun and exciting. And then when I was in high school, another gal played accordion. And so during our noon break, our lunch break, we would play the accordion while the teenagers would dance the polkas.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. You don't hear much of that nowadays.
No.
But that accordion. I think I'm on my third accordion or fourth one. I can't remember. They sort of fall apart sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the organ, I'm more or less self-taught on that. The piano, I'm more professionally trained because that's my main instrument. But my mother, of course, taught me the basics of the organ, and she had me playing at a young age, too, the organ and piano at some of our church services. And so because I had more lessons on the piano, I accompanied the high school choirs when I was in high school for my last couple of years.
Oh,
and
as
far as in the organ, I was able to be the organist at an American Baptist church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Because, see, I went to a Bible college first, my first 4 or 5 years, I think it was, and majored in music. So I was able to be hired as an organist at this Baptist church. So that's where I got some more of my organ playing experience in.
Sure.
And I played French horn when I was in the high school band, so I did play that too. And then, of course, I've done a lot of singing over the years also.
Yes.
I was in a choral club and when I was going to Bible college, and so we used to tour throughout the United States. So that was quite an experience too. And that's what I've been able to do on that.
Wow, it sounds like you've just had some kind of neat adventures surrounding your music, Bonnie. I had a neighbor who played the accordion. Oh, my goodness, I just thought that was the coolest instrument ever. And it takes a lot of coordination, I would think.
It does. It's not always easy because you have to make those bellows go in and out at the right time and have the muscles to do it, too. So now
exactly.
I have to sit down when I play the accordion. I used to be able to stand and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah. That's a heavy instrument.
It is heavy. So I have a friend that says that she has some kind of a straps to hold on her back. I can't remember how exactly where it's not so heavy. And I think there's even electric accordions, too.
Probably.
Yeah. So, but mine's an old-fashioned accordion, though, so, which I have fun with.
I know you've played at our church time or two on the accordion, and it is it's a very beautiful instrument, as well as of course the organ and the piano.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you play by ear at all, or do you play strictly by music, Bonnie?
Mostly it's by music. By notes and all that, but I can play songs by ear too, because I learned when I was in college, you have to know how to transpose and so on. And if I have enough time, you know, I can play songs that I know and do it by ear. So, but I'm not as gifted as some that can play by ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
I just can't. I just can't hear the whatever you'd call it. I just can't. I have to have that music in front of me. I mean, unless I've memorized something, but that's an entirely different thing, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely a gift, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. Because then I decided this was my gift to teach then. And I think that was one of your next questions coming up.
Yes. You taught music to students at a fairly small school down here in Colorado for 20 years before you retired. How many students, first of all, did you teach? Do you know?
Well,
on average.
When I first started, it was in 1990 because I taught there for 20 years. Might have been close to 90-some students, but they, of course, it started, you know, getting less over the years. And I taught preschool up through high school vocal music there. And one of my greatest experiences of my life. But what helped me to even get that far was that I accompanied the high school choirs here in Los Animas for almost 10 years. My daughters were in choir, so I, you know, accompanied them, and I worked with music groups in the high school, and that helped me to get my credits going again, too, where I was hired in 1990 at Pritchett, and so I was there for 20 years. I thought I was just going to try it for 1 year. I stayed.
You never know how plans are going to work out, huh?
Oh, like I said, it was an exciting time and wonderful, terrific singers there. And so many of them took part in honor choirs and solo contests and winning lots of first prizes or first place. And then I had, let me think, over 40 programs or concerts in those 20 years that I taught there.
Wow.
And with musicals every year and all. Was that ever exciting to watch them perform? Because they not only act, they could sing, they could move. And it was quite, those were really exciting productions that we put on. And I know you were asking me, you know, what my goal was to impress upon them for music in their lives.
Yes.
I wanted, most of all, for music to be fun, and I wanted to bring excitement and fun and the joy of being able to perform in front of others. Also, it's not only excitement, but I think music can also bring comfort. It was to deal with all kinds of emotions that they might be feeling in their lives. So not only were they to learn the mechanics, you know, of singing, but to feel what they were singing, too, I think was so important.
I always saw music as something. I played clarinet in our school for 12 years. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know it today because I couldn't play a note on it. But I played in we had the band there, and I loved our concerts because we always played the musical scores from the Broadway plays.
Wow! Yeah,
we did The Sound of Music. We did South Pacific, Dr. Zhivago.
Good.
Oh my goodness, it was a score of them, and our music teacher was probably like you, just absolutely lived and breathed music. Just absolutely loved it, and inspired that in his students. And what I was going to say was that to me, music has always been something that is very energizing.
It is. It
can be soothing,
is.
But it can serve a dual purpose in that it can be soothing, but also very energizing, I think. And to be able to teach it and inspire that in other people is amazing, Bonnie.
Yeah, and not only that, to do our best, because we put lots of practice. I was always one of these that would make them. I shouldn't say make them. I didn't want to really be that kind of enforcer, but. We have got to nail this. We're going to practice this over and over. And so sometimes, you know, that can be wearing a person out. But but they were willing to work with that. And when they did perform, they knew their stuff. They had it nailed down. And I taught them how to sing in harmony, three-part harmony, two-part harmony. I would start my music classes with little round singing from the time they were in first grade.
Yeah,
and I would go around the room and listen to their voices. That's how I would pick out some of my best singers, and we would sing it, you know, in three-part round singing, and they were really good. They were fun to listen to like that.
I can remember doing that in our music class when we had to sing, and we would do Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And that memory came back to me just now as we were speaking. Isn't that funny? I'm sure there were a bunch of others, but music is fun. I just always wish that I don't have a singing voice at all. And people say, that's something you can develop. But I don't know, Bonnie. I just don't hear like other people do, I don't think. I just don't have it. It can be different, but...
Well, we need some listeners too, you know. But But even, you know, for church or anywhere, they always say make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can always do that too.
I know, but I don't even ever feel like my noise is very joyful. Kind of sounds like a, you know, bullfrog with a sore throat or something. So. Well, Bonnie, like I mentioned in our introduction here, we at First Presbyterian Church in Los Animas have been so blessed to have you play the organ there for over 25 years.
Right. Uh-huh.
And you tend to believe, and I do too, that God speaks to us through music as a form of worship.
Yes, definitely. You know what? I think it's a form of praise to God through the instruments and through the singing. It's our way of service along with the rest of the service to use our talents, you know, to be able to have music in our church. And just like when, you know, at the beginning of each service, I always play the 10 chimes for everybody to be quiet. And then the layperson will say, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's when the gal that plays the piano, and then I play the organ, when we play our prelude, and everyone is quiet before the Lord. And this music is preparing our hearts and our souls before God, I think.
Yes, and you and happens to be the other Bonnie. We have two Bonnies that provide music at our church. And once again, we're so blessed with that.
Thank you.
For our listeners, we have Bonnie Huffman on the organ, and then we have another Bonnie on the piano. And I know for a fact, because I'm down at the church to do things that the responsibilities that I have to meet during the week, and I hear them practicing, and I know these ladies put a lot of time into their practice so that their performance is absolutely flawless by the time it reaches our ears on Sunday morning. And we are just so blessed to have that in our church.
Because because we'll put in over 2 hours every Saturday afternoon to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And not
you
only
sure
that,
do.
during the week, Bonnie, the other Bonnie, is practicing the piano at her home, and during the week, I'm going over to the church to practice the organ and get my part down right.
Yes.
So it's not
yes.
like we just threw it together. We have to go over. Sometimes we'll go over one song in the afternoon 5 times to make sure we got it right. Yeah.
And I know.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bonnie. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. And then we pray that the Holy Spirit will work through us. And that's
yes.
what happens.
And not only do you work with Bonnie, but you also, ever since you took over as our worship chairman, you have started what we call a special every week. And most of those weeks
right.
involve someone else singing, and you work with that person as well. So you put an awful lot of your heart and soul and your time and your talent into
thank you.
Making our service very special. And those of us who go
to
first press really appreciate
change.
It.
Thank you. And that's the change that I've implemented since I retired. Oh, my goodness, I've been retired 6 years already. I can't remember. That is really something. I thought I was going to take it easy, yes, right? Well, here I am, you know, putting together all these specials like I was when I was teaching music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been exciting to have like a men's quartet or mixed trios and duets and all kinds you know, of music going on. So
yes.
That is my purpose every Sunday, is to have a special because this is a talent that God has given, and this is how we can serve Him, is through using this talent for our services.
And I was thinking, Bonnie, I meant to look it up last night, but I didn't get a chance, how many references there are to music in the Bible.
Oh, that's right.
There's an awful lot of references, and I meant to have some of them this morning to cite, but I didn't get a chance to do that, unfortunately. But for those of you listeners who do read the Bible, next time, just kind of, next time you see a reference to music, think about that
that's
and how
right.
important it is in God's sight. And we always
Amen.
Hear about the angels
uh-huh.
singing praises to the Lord, and hopefully someday
was,
we will be too.
Right. It was
and I'll
exciting
be able to
when we have
sing.
Yes. And what's exciting when we have our Christmas program, not only do we have the adults performing, we also have the children, you know, the teenagers
yes.
and all that's what's so wonderful about music. You can have it for all ages. And we're trying to have more flexibility in having both contemporary and the conservative gospel music. For our songs for the congregation to sing. And just like the song that you opened up this program today is a contemporary song.
Yes, yes.
And
yeah, I like
we
to
need
listen
both.
To a, we do need both. I like to listen to a radio station that plays, what do they call it? They call it light praise.
Mm-hmm.
Music
heard, yes.
is what they call
yes.
it, and songs along that vein of "Go Light Your World" and songs like that.
Go Light Your
yeah.
World. We need both. We need both. Yes.
Yeah, and then of course there's the old traditional hymns. You know, the old Rugged Cross and In the Garden,
right.
and there's a bunch of them out there, and go ahead, Bonnie. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, it's okay. I was going to say right now this summer we're using the Vesper Chimes hymnals, and that's the old-time gospel music that we will be using this
mm-hmm.
summer, where the congregation gets to choose their song that they would like us to do.
Yes, and that's always fun.
Oh, yes.
For congregation participation. Yeah, what I was going to say earlier was my mom passed away here a few months ago, and prior to that she had wanted my sister and I to help her prepare her service, and
mm-hmm.
that was one of the hardest things, was choosing the hymns, because there's so many.
That's right.
That's the thing,
yeah.
there's so many, you know, that it was hard to narrow it down to just the two or three that we use.
It is, yes.
We've been so blessed to have such wonderful songwriters over the years. So we talked about this a little bit, Bonnie, about the changes that have been seen
uh-huh.
in music within the church over the years. And another thing that I've thought about is that we also have a gentleman who is with us who plays the guitar.
That's right.
And I always enjoy.
Yes. And he composes his own music. He holds.
Yes,
solo
he does.
Himself, and he's a gifted composer, very, very talented. Yes,
he definitely is. I've often told him that he should have those songs out there for other people to enjoy because his words are amazing, and his melody, tune, whatever that goes with it is
awesome.
Also,
yes,
yeah. So, yeah, we are very fortunate in that respect. Bonnie, we're getting to about halfway through our show, and at that time I usually like to take a short break because on Blog Talk Radio you have people that come in and out and they don't know what they're listening to when they come in the middle of the show.
Right.
So
right.
I will tell them, folks, you are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen right here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Bonnie Hoffman. Bonnie happens to be a very dear personal friend. She has served as in our church and continues to serve in that capacity as our organist for over 25 years. Excuse me. She also taught music at a small school out here in southeastern Colorado, and we have been discussing her teaching of music and how music enhances worship and things like that. But Bonnie also has some other really inspiring stories to tell about things that have happened in her life. Bonnie is probably one of the most loving and giving and Christian people I have ever known. Her love of the Lord reflects in everything she does in everyday life. But there have been times when Bonnie had a very difficult experience, more than one difficult experience. So the second half of the show, we are going to discuss those things and how the Lord brought her through those really rough times. First, I would like to make listeners aware that there will be some references throughout the show to, first of all, Bonnie has a Facebook page, and there's a story that's in a book that we're going to reference later on. And the links to those can be found on my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And you'll find under the Blog Talk Radio tab a website and social media page. You'll find a list of all my guests there and their social media and website outlets. So please, if you've listened to the show and you'd like to learn more about Bonnie, connect with her on her Facebook page. Go read the story that we have in the book that I'll mention. And if for any reason you were unable to listen to the entire show, you'd like to reference it to other people to listen to, I also have an archive page on that website where the link to this show will be available. Of course, this week it's available on the Show of the Week page up until next Monday. So with that, we will continue with the show. And Bonnie, as I said, you reflect your love of God and Jesus Christ in all aspects of your daily life. However, you did experience a very deep personal loss in childhood, and it affected you greatly. It left you very angry at God, but he spoke to you in a deeply profound manner through that. Can you share that with us?
Yes, I'll be glad to do that. And it goes back to the time when I was a 10-year-old girl. First of all, my mother and father had four children. The oldest one was a boy that was placed in an institution for the disabled when he was only 5 years old. Of course, they called him, mentally retarded at that time. Yes. And then they went on to have three more children, which was myself and then a younger sister and a younger brother. The younger brother's name was Bobby. And he was very, very precious to me. I was his older sister. I would always play with him, take him with me as an older sister, and I would hold on to his hand. I always liked to hold his little hand, and he looked up to me. Well, anyway, when I was about 10, we moved away from that house that was across from the Methodist Church out to the country to an old house. Two stories or three stories, I guess, and it was not very well built. It was had tar paper on the outside, and the only way you could heat that place was with wood stoves. And so it was hard to heat it up, and we moved there in during the winter time. And in fact, we had some very, very cold mornings. It could get like 50 below zero.
Oh my!
And so, yes, and so you can imagine how hard it was to heat it up with wood, an old house like that. Well, one morning, my sister and I, we did not make it to school that morning because it was just too cold to even get out. And I remember my brother, sister, and myself, our bedrooms were upstairs. And I know I came down because I thought, well, maybe I better have some breakfast. And my mother had there was like three stoves, I guess, that all going into one chimney. And I came down, and then eventually my sister came down. And so it was time for us maybe to get ready for school, to come in late to school. And so as I went into the living room, I was taken back by all the smoke and the flames going all around the ceiling. And I screamed for my mother, who came from the kitchen into there, and she said, "Oh, my God. The house is on fire, and Bobby is trapped upstairs." She tried to go up, but the smoke was too intense, so she said, "Go get your dad, who is outside chopping wood." And I called Dad, and he looked up, and he could see the whole top of the house in flames, and I was saying, "Bobby is upstairs." And meanwhile, my mother was able to get through on the telephone to call the fire department, which is just a small one in town. And so meanwhile, my sister and I were outside running around in the cold without any coats on, but we were just so in shock. Well, my father stumbled up those stairs, even though he couldn't see where he was going, and finally came to the room where my brother was, but he couldn't see anything. He had to feel his way and found my brother's face. He was laying in the flames. So he picked him up and stumbled down the stairs. They got outside, and next thing I knew, my brother's body was thrown in the snowbank right in front of me. And I, of course, didn't recognize him because he was so badly burnt. And I don't know how long he was laying there in the snowbank, but somebody, I guess, brought him over to one of the sheds. And meanwhile, someone came along, or the fire department came. All they could get out was an old piano downstairs. And my sister and I were taken to one of the neighbors' house to get out of the cold. And while we were over there, that was when they were looking for my brother, whose body was in the shed somewhere, and they found him. And so he was rushed to the hospital to another town. But the doctors knew that he was not going to make it. His lungs were completely burnt out, and his body was too badly burned to even do anything for it back in those years. But I remember sitting and watching the house burn down from this neighbor's house, and it was just like this little girl who was in such tremendous shock. Well, later we were taken over to one of my relatives' place where we stayed the night. And I remember in the early morning hours hearing my aunt throw up. And when I came down, that was when she said that my brother did not make it. He had died during the night. And, of course, it was, you know, something that I couldn't really fathom or want to. And my father
had
to
stay 10 years old.
Yes. And my father had to stay in the hospital for almost a couple of days because he had taken in so much of that smoke himself. So he knew, he was not surprised that my brother did not make it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big, 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 big funeral, and where the people were even outside, and people from all over the town and other towns, you know, had come for it, and it was in the paper and people were bringing things, because we'd lost everything, of course. But that
sure.
was just material things, yeah. And one dear fellow let us have one of his houses that he rents out, and he told us that we could stay in that house as long as we needed to until we could find, you know, or go back to someplace on our property. We lived out in the country.
Wow, what a blessing that was, huh?
It was. But that was the house where the miracle happened in my life, because in the days following my brother's death in the fire, I was very angry at God. You know, I cried a lot because I thought, how could this be a loving God to take someone who I love so much away from me? And I did not share it with my mother at the time either, because I just felt so alone. And I remember one night as I was crying, the room just lit up with light. And I felt a presence that it's hard to explain, but I felt my brother's hand hold my hand. And I heard him say to me, "Why are you crying? Don't cry for me. I am happy where I'm at. I'm going to be okay." And as soon and then all of a sudden, it felt like something, this heat went through my body from my head to my toes. And and I felt the most wonderful peace come over me, and I fell asleep. The best I slept in quite some time. It was just such a peaceful feeling. But before I had done that, I looked at my sister to see maybe, was it her hand that I was holding? But she had her back turned against me. I know she was facing the other direction, so it couldn't have been her hand.
Mm-hmm.
But then I knew there was a holy presence in my room that I can't explain to this very day, except I know it was God's, you know, Holy Spirit sending something. Whether it was my brother, I don't know, but it sure is, I could feel my brother's presence in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, I was so excited because I had to run and tell my mother, and she told me to sit down because she said something happened to her too that very night, and that the room had lit up with light, and she saw an image of Bobby playing with other children and also affirming to her that he was happy, he was okay. And then she, not at that time, but she told me years later that during the night my sister had been crying, and she went to see her, and she said, what is wrong, Andrea? And she said, "I saw Bobby by my bedside." So
wow.
We all three were visited, not knowing that it was happening to each other. And you know, from that day forward, then after that, I stopped my crying. I was, you know, joyful to realize that, hey, my brother is with the Lord, and someday, you know, I will see him again. And so, in fact, you wrote about that in your book, you might want to mention.
Yes, I know.
Or your story.
Of course, I already knew the story, but
right. You just let me
our
explain
listeners
it.
Don't. But yeah, the name of the anthology that this story was published in for our listeners is called Angels, Miracles, and Heavenly Encounters, Real Life Stories of Supernatural Events. It's one of the anthologies that was compiled by James Stewart Bell. It was published by Bethany House. It was very popular in Walmart for quite a long time. I'm not sure if you can still find it there, but it definitely can still be found on Amazon. It has, in addition to Bonnie's story, it has some other wonderful stories in it. Bonnie's story
right.
is entitled The Sweet Touch of a Small Hand. It is found
mm-hmm.
on page 139 in that book. And as I have told Bonnie 100 times over, I have a million regrets that when the book was published, it was published under my name only instead of as told to story like it should have been. So it was not me that had this tragic incident occur and then the wonderful revealing of her little brother's presence. It was Bonnie. So it's the biggest mistake I ever made in my limited writing life was to not
that's okay.
get that story in there as a, you know, as an as told to story. That's a huge error, and I have apologized, Bonnie, to you several times. It's something
that okay.
still really bothers me. But anyway, the important thing is that message gets out to people that God does have a way of comforting us in our darkest hour, and He certainly did
Amen.
That. For
he
you,
did.
and being a such a young person at age 10, the whole experience had to be something. For anyone, it would be a horrific experience, but for a 10-year-old child,
right,
such a bond with a little brother, It has to have been absolutely devastating. I mean, it's something that could have destroyed the whole rest of your life had it not been for that intervention, I think, anyway.
For that intervention, yes. Yes, that it made me realize, God, you really do care. You really do care about us.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And I know later in life, Bonnie, you also experienced a dark time, and I don't know as much about that, so I will be as interested to hear about, I'm always interested to hear your stories, but I will be as interested to this one as our listeners, because I'm not as familiar with what happened to you in later life with your own son.
Right, exactly. Earlier in this broadcast, I mentioned that my folks had an older brother that was placed in the institution when he was only 5 years old.
Right.
And at that, and he had seemed like a bright little child, and all of a sudden he started regressing when he was about 3 years old and no longer would talk, and he would scream and go out and hit his head on the pavement in the street, and he was uncontrollable. My father was a Great Lakes sailor, so he was gone 9 months of the year, and my mother was having a horrible time in trying to control him, and he would break dishes and break windows and all that, and she took him to many, many specialists and doctors who told her that he would never get better, and that it was like he had a brain injury or something happened to him. So to their great regret, they placed him in an institution, which is not always the best place for a child to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember in later years thinking, you know, folks, when someday should I get married, and if I have a boy, somehow there will be another boy in our lives, because my folks already lost their younger boy, Bobby.
Right.
And so later years they did adopt, you know, a little boy later on, so that, you know, I do have an adopted brother now too. But anyway, going on with what happened to me, I had two daughters first, beautiful, bright little girls, and they still are that way. Not little girls now, but
wonderful, but wonderful young ladies. Yes,
young ladies. Yes, exactly. And so when Kent was born, he seemed to be okay at first, and then something happened when he was 2, going on 3, I believe. He started regressing. And also, he too started screaming and would bang his head against the wall and became uncontrollable. And we didn't know what was going on. And so we started taking him to specialists. And then we got the diagnosis that he was severely autistic.
Wow.
And it was like I couldn't hug my son. And he was no longer, he didn't want to be touched. And he would keep up, he would stay up all night long and wouldn't sleep. And so it was just one emotional day after another. We finally, I was able to have him go to his Carl Gerst Center at that time when they started classes for children that, you know, were disabled like that. And even they could not handle my son either. And by that time, we moved west. We moved from Ordway to west of Los Animas. And as time was going on, Kent was becoming more uncontrollable. I could hardly take him anywhere. And my daughters and I would have to hold him down because sometimes he would be screaming so hard. He would be hardest on himself. He would bite himself. He would beat himself up with his fists, and there'd be bruises all over him. And night after night, he would be going around tearing up whatever he could tear. And I remember crying. At that time, my husband and I were separated. I think Kent was like about 6 years old, something like that, and where he was getting worse. And I remember at the time crying constantly, angry. I was angry again at God. And at that time, it felt like I was going through a dark tunnel. And even though I didn't verbally out loud say it, but I was cursing God
mm-hmm.
in my thoughts.
Sure.
And it just telling God, I don't know if I want any more to do with you. I'm not sure I want to stay a Christian anymore. Look what you have done. You've taken away my two brothers, and now my son, you can't have my son. What are you doing to me? You know, that's how I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't sleep, and I was falling apart. And my friends were very worried about me because I didn't know what to do. And I thought there was no hope. And how I ever got through it wasn't because of my own belief at that time, because it was leaving me, it seemed like. And so, but the doors were opening without me realizing at first, with others helping me. One of the gals that worked at Career Center was a social worker here in Los Animas, and she said, "Bonnie, my work is not done with you yet. I think you need respite care. There is a place in Longmont that will take in, you know, children that are hard to handle." And so she took me there. We went there, but of course it was a stipulation that he would have to stay there a year and go to classes in Longmont. And there were some teachers there that got in touch with me, and they said, "The place where he is right now is not good for him, but there's a new home opening up in Boulder put out by Martin Luther Homes from Nebraska. And it's going to be a wonderfully staffed place. And we think this would be the place for Kent to get help for residential care." Because at that time, there were just the beginning of group homes opening up. And
exactly.
They were starting to close. Mm-hmm. They were starting to close the institution. I don't know if there's a place called Wheatridge or wherever it was that there was an institution in Colorado. And fortunately at that time, before my marriage broke up, we were able to put Kent under a disability or under Medicaid and Social Security, where funding was available for Kent for his care. Otherwise, I could never afford to have paid for any group home care. And also, our wonderful, wonderful school board here in Los Animas agreed to back up education for Kent in another county. And that was not all that cheap either to do that. But there wasn't any way or anything they could do to help him in our county because he was so severely autistic. And there was that law that was put in effect by the Kennedys that, you know, the retarded children and so on were to have an education until they are 21 years old.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. Yeah. But when that door opened, though, for Kent to get this extra help, and I thought, "Oh, Lord, you are there. You are helping me." And so many of my friends in the churches, you know, were praying for me when I couldn't pray at all. And so after that, like I said again, the doors were opening for Kent to be there, even though I couldn't keep him in he was 7 years old when I took him to a home. And it made me think about my mother having to place my older brother when he was only 5 in an institution.
Yes.
But the timing was so much better this time, you know, for what can be available for our children that need extra help.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, when I finally realized, because I always kept thinking, I always had these feelings of guilt, bitterness, not knowing what to do, and then all of a sudden coming to the point and realizing, because like they told me, he's never going to get better. I finally had to accept and love him just for who he is and where he is in his life at that time. And when I got to that point, I felt this wonderful relief come over me and the peace that it really wasn't my fault that he was that way. And it was because at that time when I was so angry at God, I kept saying, "Why God? Why God? Why me? Where are you? Don't you even care?" But when I finally come to the point in time where I was able to get help, then I was able to say to God, "Why not me, God? Why not?" And that way maybe I can be having more compassion to help others.
And I think that's part of maturity in Christianity, Bonnie. It's so right. easy for us to believe that because we follow the Christian life, that everything is supposed to be all, you know, sweet yeah. candy and roses, and it just isn't that way. And we probably never will know the answers to some of the reasons why we experience the hardships we do, but look at how it crafts us to be the people that we are.
Exactly. You think of that song, "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden."
It's funny, I heard that just the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's true. You know, why did I think I had a special edge in life? You know, that everything should fall the way I want it to go. Yeah. But,
and yet today, I've told our listeners, you are one of the most loving and giving people I have ever met, and unselfish people. I mean, you're always putting other people first, and that's something that is just amazing.
Thank you.
Considering all you have been through, and I realized, too, that, like you said, you didn't even have a strong marital support there.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And so I had to go it alone. And with my daughters, and then of course another miracle came when they were selling the water, you know, the power company is supposed to buy up whatever it was, you know, the water shares. And then I was able to move into town and buy a home and help my daughters, you know, with their future, and it's just like, wow, God, look what now you're bringing me some blessings here.
Sure.
And not only that, Kent went to Boulder, and then he went to Broomfield. They closed those homes down. He was brought back to Los Angeles for a little bit. Then he went to Grand Junction, then to Rocky Ford, and now he's in a beautiful group home in La Junta. So I go to visit him every chance I get, a couple of times a month.
And that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Bonnie, if you don't mind to share this. How is the relationship with him now? Does he realize who you are?
Always.
Is there any kind of connection at all?
Okay, it's interesting. Yes, he never forgets me. He always knows who I am. And when he sees me when I come to visit, I was there just Sunday this week.
Right.
And he gets all excited. He jumps up and down. He squeals with delight.
Oh, that's
laughs.
Neat.
And even though he's, you know, 42 years old, he's more like a little child, of course. And he
sure.
doesn't speak, except he can say bye. He can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always bring him snacks, and we go in this other room. I used to play the keyboard. They have a keyboard there, and he used to sort of listen to that and walk around the room. But after that, he can't sit still for very long. So I visit probably about an hour with him, and now he won't let me hug him. He doesn't want anybody to touch him, but he will throw a kiss to me. He will do that.
Oh, how sweet.
So, yeah, and he'll say bye and wave to me or whatever. So, yes, mm-hmm. he always knows who I am, and he's always glad to see me. So,
and I don't know why I was under the impression, Bonnie, that there was no engagement there, that he just didn't realize who you were
and
just another person that entered his world for a period of time. And I'm so glad that he
yeah.
does recognize
yeah,
you as his mom and acknowledge
that.
That's,
yes, there is that acknowledgement, you know, that
mm-hmm.
as soon as he sees me, he jumps up, he's smiling, he's laughing, he's excitable. And, you know, that makes me feel good.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's at a level where he is able to do daily functioning care, dressing himself,
yeah,
himself.
Yeah. The good thing about it, he can take care of himself, like going to the bathroom. He did have to have all his teeth removed because he would never allow anybody to brush his teeth. He doesn't want any part of his face touched, so they have quite a time trying to shave his beard or cut his hair, you know, things
sure.
like that. But he knows how to help himself in the refrigerator, put food and put the dishes back. And so physically, he's in good shape. That way, in functioning,
yes.
there's nothing handicap about him that way whatsoever. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but he'll never be able to. He can't stand being in crowds, or when they have big groups of activities of dancing and whatever there is, then he'll flap his hands and he'll wail, see, and his eyes get that wild look in it, and he cannot stand
it's
to be around crowds.
It's very untouchable for him.
Yeah, he does not want to be around crowds at all, yeah. So, but he's with a higher functioning group. They call them consumers or residents in the group home he's with because they know how to verbalize and talk, and where he doesn't, but he gets along okay with them. In other words, he doesn't get into a fight with anybody else. He's always been hardest with on himself. And so he's given sometimes some kind of medication whenever he has the outbursts because every once in a while he will still have that. And we're like he's got a headache or he's pounding his head that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in about 20 minutes, he's feeling better after they give him some kind of an aspirin or some kind of stuff, whatever they give him. Yeah. But he will always, of course, need home care like that, group home care.
Oh, yes.
Because I can't even take him out to go anywhere or to even bring him to my house to visit. Because it's too excitable for him.
There's
yeah.
too much stimulation there, sure.
That's the word. That's a good word for that. Yeah, he can't
yeah.
take too much stimuli. Uh-uh. Or mm-hmm. too much noise to either. He'll put his hands over his ears. Yeah. But he will be taken care of for the rest of his life, you know, this way. And I'm so thankful that we have these group homes now where they do get good quality care as much as possible.
Absolutely. Back in the day, people that had any kind of mental problems were basically treated like non-entities, you know?
Oh, yes.
I mean, they,
yes.
they were just hidden away and not integrated
oh,
in society at all, which is a sad
yeah.
thing.
Because I remember when we used to visit my brother once a week, we would look at his back and look like he had whiplashes on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just... not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Bonnie, I love to do this show, and this is the time when I regret that I have to tell my guests that it's about...
Right.
Our time is about up. But uh-huh. I did want to ask one more question before we do sign off.
Mm-hmm.
You have experienced so many things in your life, and yet you have come through them... with you just have this wonderful personality that I can't emphasize enough. So what advice would you give to others who are experiencing dark times where, like you mentioned, they're walking through that dark tunnel?
Right, right.
They feel God has abandoned them.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice do you have to give to people that are in that place today?
What I had to do, of course, was to reach out for help when you feel like you can't help yourself. And I had to reach out for help from other believers or Christians because I knew I could not go alone throughout this darkness. And there were those that were just waiting to step in to help me, to pray with me. You know, reach out to your minister or priest or whoever is your spiritual leader. And, of course, I read a lot of scriptures, too, in the Bible that were a great comfort at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I could not pray myself, I had to have others pray for me and with me. So you have to reach out wherever you can.
And don't isolate yourself.
And don't what?
Don't isolate yourself.
Oh, that's it right there. You cannot isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there's times when maybe you can, no, I can help someone else now because of what I experienced.
Because
yeah.
of what you've been through. Exactly.
And that will help you to grow. It will. Because you'll know eventually God has not abandoned you.
Well, Bonnie, your stories have been amazing. You have been an inspiration this morning to many. Like I say, on a daily basis, you're an inspiration to me. Just getting to spend a few minutes with you, and I
thank you.
Run across you in town or over at the church or whatever, just brightens my day because you're just such
a
bright and wonderful person, and you always have
thank
a good
you.
Word to say, even about people that are not always that easy to say good things about.
Don't I know?
I mean, you always see the good side of situations and of people. And
that's what we all need to do. Yes.
Definitely. Well, thank you again for sharing your heart with us. And
well,
I'm
thank
sure
you
have
made
inspired.
It
inspired our listeners, and it's just been wonderful to have you with us, Bonnie.
Oh, I thank you. You made it easy for me to do this. I wondered if I could make it through or not.
Oh, I knew you would do absolutely fine.
Oh,
so,
it has been a joy to do this. It really has.
So may God bless you. Well,
thank
it made
you.
My day to have you this morning as well. So may God bless you, and I will be seeing you, I'm sure, within the next couple of days. And if not, we'll do email like we do and all that good
right.
stuff. So.
And I got to work on the bulletin for next Sunday to send
yeah,
out to you.
Yeah, I got that to do this week, and I'm going to get our newsletter out today. We finally got our email glitch fixed, I think,
good.
And I'm going to get that done. So, yeah, it's late, but we're finally
okay.
in touch. Going to be back in touch with folks. So
Good.
Well, to our listeners, it's been a pleasure to have you with us today. We hope you'll join us again next Tuesday, which will be the 14th of June at 8 o'clock in the morning. Once again, I'd like to remind listeners to go to Patty Sheehan, PattiSheehan.com. If you didn't hear any part of this show, or you'd like to hear it again, or you'd like to refer it to other folks, the URL, the link is right there on my website. And also links to other shows. You can get in touch with Bonnie on her Facebook page. And I meant to mention that she's been doing this long narrative for a long time.
Of different experiences
that she has had in her life. Oh, man, Bonnie, I'll tell you what. I could spend hours reading that. You just have such a weight. You should write a book.
But my daughter,
you already
my
have
younger daughter,
on Facebook.
My younger daughter, she's going to put it in a book, Christy. She said, when you get done, Mom, with this, I'm putting it in a book so that there's something there for our children to have.
That'll be wonderful. That would be
so
wonderful.
That's why I keep doing it.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Uh-huh.
You certainly have a lot of memories.
Definitely. And it's amazing I kept them all.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at
the
time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remember. God bless you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
Oh. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it
home. Okay.